This is your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing landlord-tenant laws, disputes, and issues. My guests are landlord-tenant attorneys Jessica Chilek, whose office is in San Francisco, and Salvatore Timpano, who also has an office in San Francisco. Also, we're doing this program live on Wednesday, July 26th. This is our normal monthly Call a Lawyer night. Wherever you may be, if you're listening to the live program, whether it's in California or anywhere in the nation, our number is 1-800-525-9917 for the attorneys in the conference room here. I will be taking some calls for those of you who want to talk with my guests on the air. If you'd like to jot down that toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. The lawyers for Call a Lawyer will be here and speak to you off the air from 7 to 8 p.m. The topics we have are criminal law with Jeff Hayden, workers' compensation law with Robert Wyman, estate planning and probate law with Mark Seidenfeld, and Mark will also be taking landlord-tenant calls, employment law, Ellen Mendelson, and tax law, real estate is Frank Adam. Tomorrow, you might want to jot down these numbers. Janet Lee Frankel, a certified specialist in family law, will be taking calls from you on Thursday, July 27th from 9 to 11 a.m. That number is 415-362-9533, 415-362-9533. And also tomorrow, Leon Baer, certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be taking calls from you on Thursday, July 27th from 9 a.m. to noon. And that number is 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. Jessica and Sal, great to talk with you here, and thank you for coming back. These are very good friends of this program. Let's do this. Security deposits have already been always been a problem in the landlord-tenant area. What do you want to tell us about it, and how should we deal with it?
You want to go first, Jessica?
Well, in general, they are governed by the California Civil Code, Section 1950.5, and pretty much any payment that you make other than a key deposit or application fee that isn't your actual rent is considered a security deposit. So if your landlord says, you know, I need last month's rent, under the law, that's considered part of the security deposit.
Oh, is it? Okay, I didn't know that. And so what happens? There's been a frequent problem, though, where landlords have not returned the full security deposit. How do you deal with that if you're a tenant?
So under the code section that Jessica mentioned, landlords have 21 days to provide an accounting to their tenants. If they don't provide the accounting, the code section has some penalties in it. They're pretty stiff. But in a lot of cases, landlords don't know about it, and neither do tenants. Mm-hmm. And so if tenants are leaving the area, many times they'll just leave, and the security deposit
and
remains.
They'll be left holding the bag. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they just don't get their money back.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they weren't entitled to it anyway, but yeah, they're supposed to get an accounting so that can be figured out. But if they don't get the accounting and they don't ask for it, then the landlord just uses the money to, you know, remodel the unit or whatever it takes.
If the tenant, let's say, doesn't move away, but let's say moves by that, go out of state or whatever, but moves to a, let's say, a cheaper area to rent or whatever, mm-hmm, and is still within at least the state of California, what is the potential penalty for a landlord not doing an accounting and, let's say, not returning a security deposit which the landlord should return? What's the penalty?
The code section that Jessica mentioned provides for a triple damage.
So if you have a security deposit of $1,000 or whatever, the landlord may be hit with a $3,000 penalty?
Yes. In that example, the security deposit itself, $1,000 plus a $2,000 penalty.
So that's $3,000.
A total of $3,000. Right. And that would be a small claims case.
Yeah.
Right, Jessica?
In California,
small
yeah.
Claims.
And it's a strict liability statute. So mm-hmm, if the landlord does not meet that 21-day accounting requirement, under the statute, the plain language of the statute, the tenant is entitled to at least all of their security deposit mm-hmm back. The landlord may retain a right to you know, go after them for damages if there's been damage to the apartment that would have come out of the security deposit.
I see. Beyond the 21 days.
Right. They have to return the full security deposit, but they retain the right to sue for damages.
I see.
So it's kind of a double-edged sword there, I think.
I agree, Jessica.
Has this improved in terms of landlords and tenants with respect to security deposits, or is it still as bad as it used to be?
You know, I think Jessica and I probably see the worst of the relationships.
Do you really? Oh, I see.
You're right. So then we don't – I really don't come across the good ones. Uh-huh. You know, so every time somebody brings up security deposits, it's always something bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We're crisis people. We deal with folks in crisis. Yeah. You know, if they'd done some preventative lawyering ahead of time, it might be different. But, many people don't.
I'm going to ask all of you who are listening to this program, and we're doing, as I said earlier, doing this live on Wednesday, July 26th. If you'd like to call in with a question for my guests on the air, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. If you have any questions that you want to talk with any one of the lawyers off the air, no obligation on your part whatsoever. This is a public service these attorneys are performing. And that number for Call a Lawyer is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. Jessica and Sal, with the increasing cost of rent in San Francisco, which is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's more and more a problem, as I understand it. Where you have a master tenant, let's say, who is leaving a property, is leaving as a tenant, and maybe there are other tenants who were there sharing the place, what is the problem there, and what's the potential that can happen?
So as we were speaking earlier, when a master tenant leaves the unit, typically one of their first questions is, am I coming off the lease? And the next question is, am I getting my security deposit back?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is usually no to both of those.
And that's legally no.
Legally it's no, because they didn't give back the unit to the landlord. They gave back the unit to somebody that was already in there, that they let in.
What if, for example, the master tenant said to the landlord, is it okay if I bring in John Smith here to live with me? And the master tenant says, or pardon me, and the landlord says, yeah, sure, that's fine. What does that do, if anything, in changing the relationship?
So unless the landlord takes those new folks on as original occupants, it doesn't change it.
Oh, really?
It doesn't change it. It's probably nice to do so that the landlord, I mean, the landlord can't say no anyway, unless there's a good reason. But the landlord's most likely going to say yes anyway. But the master tenant is still going to be the master tenant unless the landlord makes those other folks original occupants.
Which means that the landlord would have to enter into another written document, tenancy agreement with the other folks.
Written would be best, but it could be done orally as well.
Really?
But then there's proof issues, but it could be done orally as well.
Really?
There's a proof issue of if it ever really occurred. So the security deposit stays with the unit until it's given back to the landlord, vacant. And that's a problem for master tenants.
Well, I hope those of you who are having problems, whether you're a tenant or a landlord and would like to share your problem, I hope you'll take advantage of this. We'll be on the air live in California, also on the Internet at www.klw.org until 8 p.m. California time. And I would hope that you would join us with your question, your comment, your concern, your problem, etc. And again, I want to give you the toll-free number. We do, by the way, if you're not familiar with this, we do Call a Lawyer once a month, usually on the fourth Wednesday of the month. And the toll-free number is 866-798-8255 for on the air. And for Call a Lawyer, it's 1-800-525-9917. Again, this is a public service that these attorneys are performing, and they've been very generous with their time. So we're going to start with John. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Sure, go ahead.
I have a question. What happens if a tenant breaks a lease, stops paying rent, and I'm concerned about the security deposit? What are the obligations of the landlord? Because it seems to me that the security deposit goes towards the first month of unpaid rent, at which point he has no security deposit. So is there an obligation to report? And is there a three-week requirement?
Well, John, let me ask you this. When you say the tenant breaks the lease, are we talking now about a written lease?
Yes.
We are. Of what length?
A two-year lease.
Two-year lease. And the tenant has not given, has no legal right to give a notice of termination? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. Do you have enough information from John on this?
I think so.
Okay, turn your radio back on, John, and take the answer on the air, would you?
All right, thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling. Okay, Jessica here.
Well, it seems to me that if the tenant breaks the lease and you're going to use the security deposit for the the unpaid rent,
yeah,
that's what goes into the 21-day accounting.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that is one of the reasons that you can retain security deposit as a landlord is for unpaid rent. But it has to go to a letter or something has to go out to the tenant, either at their new address if they gave it to you or at the old address where they left.
So the letter saying, I'm going to take the security deposit and apply it against the rent that you're not paying. Is that right?
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
So it would say, security deposit of $800, rent of $500, $300 left over.
Yeah.
I had to pay for you to move your get your trash out or whatever, and just list those things with accounting and include receipts.
Mm-hmm.
And that covers you.
But if the tenant breaks the lease, and now John's saying this is a two-year lease. If the tenant breaks the lease, the tenant, and let's say it's within the first few months of a two-year lease, let's assume, and it's a written lease. If the tenant breaks the lease after a few months, the tenant is still liable, is he or she or they, for the balance of the rent if the landlord wants to pursue them?
To a certain extent, it has to be reasonable. The landlord has to, put the unit up for rent.
Okay.
And try to get
so
somebody
that is
else
the
in
responsibility
there.
Of the landlord.
Yes.
To put it up for rent, and if the landlord is able to rent it, then that is to the benefit of the
of
tenant.
Everybody.
Of everybody.
Of the landlord and of the tenant that breached.
So the there you are, John.
Yeah.
Get somebody who's willing to, let's say, rent the unit so that you can get the heck out. And I thank you. Anything else we haven't covered on that for John?
I think we answered his question. I'm not sure if you had anything else.
John, if there's anything else and I cut you off too fast, call back again if you would. And we have Elkhorn. Elkhorn, welcome to your legal rights.
Yes.
Hi.
I have initially a one-year lease, and then it went to month-to-month. I started in 2002, and I'm still there in 2017.
Whoa.
All right.
Whoa.
So the initial security deposit was about $5,000. Rent's being paid monthly.
Elkhorn, how much are you paying per month for rent?
Right now, about $2,100 a month.
How in the world were you agreeable to putting up a $5,000 security deposit?
Well, it was first and last and a security deposit.
I got you.
Oh, yeah, that's outside the statutory scheme. That's more than you're supposed to be paying. Was it furnished?
No.
Okay, you're paying more than the code allows, or you've paid more than the code allows.
Okay.
In security deposit.
Yeah, there's a limit on that. It's twice for an unfurnished apartment. It's twice the rent. For a furnished apartment, it's three times the rent.
Is it as a security deposit?
Yeah.
So your landlord still has the $5,000 security deposit.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And I have not gotten an accounting from her.
You haven't moved, though, have you?
No. Oh, no. I'm still there, and I want to continue to stay there.
Yeah.
Because
are you
for
in,
a house, that's a nice brand in San Francisco.
Are you under rent control where you are, Elkhorn?
Yes.
You are?
Under rent control.
Okay. So now your question is what?
Okay. Two things. If I do move out or have to move out, first of all, what is that section number for the accounting?
It's California Civil Code Section 1950.5.
And, in this time, I have not gotten an accounting from the landlord.
Did you move?
The accounting is only when you move out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But there is also... If you've been there more than a year in San Francisco, there's also interest on your security deposit. So, you know, there's that.
He's entitled to some interest on the $5,000
from the first day that he deposited it with the landlord.
How much interest? What's the interest rate on that?
It varies every year.
Does it?
The rent board has a nice chart.
Tied to an index.
Do you want to take off Elkhorn? Is that what you're talking about?
The second question is, what about normal wear and tear?
Well, you've been there since when?
2002.
So what do you see? Let's be honest now. This is your legal rights. We have to be honest. How bad is the wear and tear where you are?
I don't think it's too bad. I mean, the kitchen floor probably needs to be replaced. It's linoleum. It's starting to crack.
Well, that's not your problem.
Oh, no. I understand. But, that kind of stuff, can that be deducted from the security deposit if I decide to move out?
So that's 15. You've been there 15 years.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to me, and I am not a landlord-tenant attorney, but it seems to me for 15 years, and if now the linoleum needs to be replaced, I can't see that as being the responsibility of the tenant. Sal, what do you think?
I think it's going to be a gray area
between
him and the landlord.
But
ultimately, I believe he's probably entitled to a security deposit because he's...
You mean the
tenant is entitled to a security deposit in the linoleum example because I think it's went beyond the time that linoleum should last.
There's nothing in the code that says specific times for things like curtains, carpets, linoleum, that sort of thing. But, if you think about the average life of that sort of material, that's what your argument would be with your landlord. I mean, I've heard landlords try to charge for things like that, and you have to fight back against that.
Where do you want to move to, Elkhorn?
I want to stay where I am right now.
Oh, okay, all right. Let me just mention something to you. If you are thinking that you do want to move, my thought on this, frankly, from a consumer protection standpoint, is I think you really should, since you're a resident of San Francisco, as I believe, I think you really should call the lawyer referral service of the San Francisco Bar Association
and make
an appointment to sit down with a landlord-tenant attorney who represents tenants and for half an hour. It'll cost you $35.
Right.
It's a great way to do it. And let me give you the phone number because the San Francisco Bar Lawyer Referral Service is one of the funders of this program. Mm-hmm. And that's 415-989-1616. 415-989-1616. I really think you should do it. You got enough money in the security deposit that it's worth it for you to consider spending $35 to try to get a face-to-face discussion with an attorney.
Okay. Well, thank you much.
Good luck to you. Nice talking to you.
And that's the thing. I'm not looking at moving out. I just, want to get ready.
You want to get ready to move. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for calling. All right. For those of you who have questions for our Call a Lawyer night, we are doing this the fourth Wednesday of the month. This is a live program, July 26th. And if you'd like to speak to any one of the attorneys, it's 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. That's for criminal law, workers' compensation law, estate planning, trust and probate law, landlord-tenant law, employment law, tax law, real estate, and he's also a real estate broker. And I'll tell you who these people are again in the second half hour. So please make an effort on your part to call them. They'll be here until 8 o'clock. Now, we have another caller right now who I think is Donna. Donna, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Thank you for the show.
Of course.
I need some advisement, please. I'm a master tenant. I've been in my place for about 20 years, and the house has been just a bunch of different roommates since the 80s, handing it down to people. And so here I am. I've been there 20 years. I don't have a lease with the landlord.
Oh, really?
And so he asked me for a copy because he says he can't find his copy. And then it dawned on me while I'm looking for it, like, I don't have one with him. He made the lease like a long time ago with people before me.
Right.
And so I just, and I have subtenants, and I just want to like kind of clear things up and get things together and get it straight. So how would you advise me to proceed? He has given me computations in the past about the figures of how basically he's shown on paper that we don't have any interest on the security deposit, and I just, it's a bunch of mumbo jumbo to me. I don't really understand it.
But
what should I do?
Are you in a rent control unit?
Yeah, I guess it is. He raises it now per whatever he says the law is, 4%. He just kind of started doing that like about 5 years ago. He was kind of not playing by the book at all. Like, you know, we didn't bother him, he doesn't bother us. And then when he finally replaced the roof, he put the charges on us, a capital carry through or something. I found out later that wasn't really right. So some ways he looks square on paper, but then when I keep talking to people, they're like, you can't do that. And now he's telling me that he can't find the lease, and he doesn't have a lease with me. So he's telling me he can't find something.
So Donna, let me make sure I understand this. When you moved in 20 years ago, there was not some kind of a written document?
No. And if there was, we don't have it. I mean, really, like, my...
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me get some comments for you. Please understand that my guest cannot give specific legal advice, but can give you some direction. I think you are a resident in San Francisco, are you not?
Yes.
I also think, and I would suggest to you, that you might want to contact the lawyer referral service for the San Francisco Bar.
And I wrote down the number.
Good. I think it would be very wise for you to do that. But what comments... Jessica and Sal, what comments do you have for Donna on this?
Jessica,
please.
Well, it's difficult when it's been that long and you don't have a lease. And you know, it was definitely much more the practice 20 years ago for people to roll into a tenancy and for it to keep rolling over and over. But, you know, under state principles of contract law, every time he accepts your rent, he's renewing your rental agreement. Mm-hmm. And the rental agreement is basically whatever has been the practice over the years.
Yep.
But if there was an original written lease, and let's say it was a one-year lease, and after the first year, 19 years ago, by him accepting the rent from Donna, it doesn't extend that lease for another year, does it, or does it?
No, it does. What it probably extends that lease month to month.
Month to month.
Because the lease expired, and then it goes month to month, if they find it.
Yeah.
If they never find it, then their lease is simply the performance of the parties, as Jessica stated, which is the amount of money being paid and the date that it's being paid.
So at this point, assuming neither can find a written document, she's really on a month-to-month tenancy,
she would be if it was a written expired document.
Yeah.
It would be the same in that regard.
Even under rent control, that would be the thing.
Correct.
She could give the landlord a 30-day notice, could she?
If she's going to leave, she should give
a
30-day notice.
And he could do the same thing with her. Is that correct or not?
I mean, he's subject to the rent ordinance, the San Francisco rent ordinance, so if he gave her any kind of notice, it would have to comply with that.
And what would that be?
Well, they could be various notices, 3-day notices, 30 days, 60 days.
The
notices don't change whether there's a written lease or an oral lease. She has a lease. It's oral.
So she
doesn't really have any problem because she can't find the original lease.
Yeah.
Jessica, and including, I mean, quite frankly, it's advantageous to you because you have a subtenants, you said, and master tenants who have subtenants should have the authority of the landlord. But in your instance, the landlord's practice over the years has been to let you do what you like about
pretty much
subtenants.
He provides forms for us whenever we get new roommates that, you know, that say...
How many roommates do you have, Donna?
Three.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So you're authorized to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Donna, I really think, as I suggested, you really owe it to yourself to call a lawyer referral San Francisco and sit down and talk face-to-face with an attorney who does landlord-tenant work, who represents primarily tenants. And I think it's a very wise investment for you.
Thank you. I will, and yeah. I really appreciate your show. Thanks for the guests. Thank you very much for what you do. Take care. Thank you very much for calling.
This segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And we have, Mary. Mary, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. You come over very well.
Fantastic. Okay. So basically, in a nutshell, we moved in to the place where we are now April 15th, so just a couple months ago. The owner did verbally disclose to me that her husband was looking for work back in San Francisco. They're in out of state, actually, and that there was a possibility that, you know, if he found work, that they would have to move back. But it wouldn't be, you know, 6 months, maybe a year, maybe longer. She had no idea. She just kind of threw it out there. I got a call a couple weeks ago, pretty much right on the two-month mark, that we were getting our 60-day notice. He found work, and they're moving back. And so
very quickly, Mary, we're nearly at the end of the statewide version. What is your question? Because we'll come back and give you some direction in the second half hour. What's your question, please?
And that's fine. So the question is that legal to, if you said it was in the lease somewhere, but I can't find it, that they can give a 60-day notice at any time within that year lease?
We'll come back to this in just a minute.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
We do, for all of you who are wondering, what in the world is Chuck doing? The first half hour is the statewide version of the program, which is recorded. KLW then sends it out to a good number of stations in California, which will air the half hour next week. So that's why I had to, unfortunately, cut Mary short. But Mary, I hope, is still there. If you are joining us, we are doing this program live on Wednesday evening, July 26th. This is also our monthly Call a Lawyer night, which we usually do on the fourth Wednesday of the month. That number for Call a Lawyer is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. With us here for criminal law is certified specialist Jeff Hayden, who's also the chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization. For workers' compensation law, we have certified specialist Robert Wyman. For estate planning, trust, and probate law, we have Mark Seidenfeld, who will also respond to your landlord-tenant questions. For employment law, we have Ellen Mendelson. For landlord-tenant law, I just told you, was Mark Seidenfeld. We'll do that also. For tax law, real estate, he's also a real estate broker, is Frank Adam. If you have family law questions, Janet Lee Frankel, a certified specialist, will take your calls tomorrow, Thursday, July 27th, from 9 to 11 a.m. at 415-362-9533. And if you are being chased by your creditors, Leon Baer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will take your calls tomorrow, July 27th, from 9 a.m. to noon at 1-800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111. As I mentioned to you before, Your Legal Rights is also funded by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and they'll make an arrangement for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to you in your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program of the San Francisco Bar Association, it's 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. That's 650-369-4149. 650-369-4149. In the state of California, just about every county has a bar association and lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours, tell them what the problem is, they'll line you up with an experienced attorney who can help you for a half an hour consultation, and with minor exception, wherever it may be in California, for a half an hour consultation, you'll pay anywhere between $25 to $35. That money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep it going. It's a really good public service that is available to you. I hope you don't need it, but it's there if you need it. Additional funding for your legal rights is made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. So let's do this. Mary, I cut you off short. Go back and tell us again what your question is. Oh, she hung up. Did we get a question from Mary? Did you understand?
Basically, she wanted to know if it was all right, you know, if it was legal that in the rental agreement it says that the landlord can give a 60-day notice at any time. And if she's in San Francisco.
She actually is in Marin County, I presume.
She's in Marin.
Yeah.
Well, in Marin, the contract, there is no rent control or anything like that. So it's whatever the contract says, subject to state law.
You know, in my opinion, the way I understood the question was that she has a one-year lease and that she can be served a 60-day notice even within that one-year term.
Yeah.
In my opinion, those are conflicting terms.
Are they?
And you've either got a one-year lease or you don't.
Oh.
And that's the way I see it. Now, apparently, if she got served with a notice, somebody else saw it the other way. I don't know how you feel about it, Jessica, but I don't think, in my opinion, this serving a 60-day notice after the one-year period, you don't even have to put that in your lease because you can do that as a landlord.
Yeah. Or to coincide with the end of the one-year lease.
To coincide. But to say that it's within the one-year term, well, then it's not a one-year term. For me, that would be an unenforceable provision. And I don't think the landlord should have served a notice. I think they should wait for the year.
And I think, Sal, that arises from a conflict in the legal understanding of the terms lease and rental agreement versus the common understanding. Mm-hmm. I think the common understanding is they're sort of interchangeable, and they're not in California under the law. You know, if you talk to lawyers, you know, a lease is a different animal, and it gives you more rights and for a longer period of time than a rental agreement does.
Let me do this, Mary. I see that supposedly you are calling from Marin. I'm assuming for the moment that you are a resident of Marin County. My thought on this, so you know exactly what you're going to do or at least get some direction, again, I think it would be wise for you to call the lawyer referral service of the San Francisco Bar, since it not only serves San Francisco but Marin County. Give them a call and see if you can't get an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants and find out what your rights are. Again, that number, 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. For those of you, by the way, wherever you may be, if you are in California, the California Board of Legal Specialization has 11 different pamphlets of the law, which are very helpful in case you're trying to find out something in any one of the 11 specialties, and you can get those free, or if you're looking for a certified specialist anywhere in California, you might want to jot down this website, www.calbar.ca.gov. Go to the upper left corner of your screen for legal specialists. Click that on. You'll find out in your county who the legal specialists are. And for that website, you'll also find out what pamphlets are available for you. If you're nationwide, if you're listening to us nationwide, whether it's on the internet, whether it's www.klw.org, or if you get this program via the NPR satellite, the National Board of Trial Advocacy also has certified specialists all throughout the United States, and you might want to contact them. That website is www.nbtalawyers.org, NBTA, National Board of Trial Advocacy, nbtalawyers.org. All right, let me give you our toll-free number again in case you have a question for my guests on the air, and don't be bashful, and don't wait, because this This time goes awfully fast. It's 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. For Call a Lawyer, it's 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. And again, if you call and want to speak to any one of the lawyers for Call a Lawyer, there's no obligation on your part whatsoever. This is a public service that these attorneys are doing, and I think nearly all of them, if not all of them, have been doing this in conjunction with my program for years. And these are people who are very experienced. They're very willing to serve the public with no expectation that you have any obligation. So again, that's 1-800-525-9917, and we will take your calls as soon as you're ready to call in on the air. And I don't think, have we so far, of the calls that we've had four calls on the air, have we covered essentially the questions that were presented to us? Can you... I think we have, haven't we?
I think we have. We didn't get Mary's feedback on our response.
Okay, we have. I think our next caller is Derek. Derek, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, thank you for calling, taking my call.
Yeah, sure.
I live in San Francisco. I live in a rent control apartment.
Uh-huh.
I'm a master tenant. I do have a lease, written lease. My roommates or my subtenants, I signed a short-term sublease with them, and one of my recent roommates that is caused the other roommates to move out.
Why?
Now,
okay, all right, go ahead.
You know, because they have guests over all the time. They smoke and the other and stuff like that.
That's,
you know,
a problem.
That's a problem. Yeah. Now. And I'm having a problem finding other roommates. Now, my question is, if the sublease is up for that roommate, what do I have to do to have them leave? Do I have to give them a 60-day or a 30-day notice? Or
Derek, let me interrupt if I may for just a moment. When you entered into the sublease with your subtenant, did it have a specific period of time?
Yes. We renewed it three times.
Well, how much time is left on it right now, if anything?
There's none.
None.
He's there past the sublease, and I haven't accepted rent.
Okay. All right. So, Sal, what comments do you have?
Yeah, I'll start off. How many people are living in the unit with you as your subtenants?
Altogether, we are four people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Most likely, no more four people
because there's just me and him and the last roommate that has come in. He told me that he's leaving. He would like to leave as soon as, and he would like the rest. He doesn't want to stay anymore.
So the other two people have left because they were not happy with this other person.
Yes,
all right. Okay. So it sounds to me, Derek, that you can only evict for just cause. So you're going to have one of those enumerated circumstances in order to evict. Because you don't have a roommate, you actually have subtenants. So I believe that all the rent ordinance protections that you have with respect to your landlord, they have with respect to you.
Really?
Okay. And we'll see what Jessica thinks.
Yeah, what do you think?
I agree with that. The only exception would be is if you gave them a written notice prior to them signing a subtenancy agreement and moving in, that says that this is, you know, this subtenancy is not subject to the just cause provisions of the San Francisco rent ordinance. And I'm guessing that you probably didn't do that.
Yeah.
He said
he did. Yeah.
That works to your favor then.
Does that work, Jessica, if he's got multiple people in there as opposed to just one roommate?
Yes, well, because he's entering into a sublease with each of them, and he's giving disclosures that's each subtenancy is not subject to the just cause provisions, then, you know.
Okay.
You know, I think that that's actually part of the regulation, Regulation 6.15C.
What would you suggest, Jessica, that Derek do at this point? We're obviously he's walking a tightrope wondering, what do I do now?
Well, if there is indeed a written disclosure that says it's that the subtenancy is not subject to the just cause provisions of the rent ordinance, then he can do he can terminate the tenancy at any time.
3 days' notice.
Yeah, for the nuisance, for the aggressive behavior and things like that, or the non-payment of rent. But you said you didn't accept rent. That's a little different.
That is a little different.
Basically, the language is a just cause, that this is not subject to just cause, And what I'm wondering, the other question that I had is really quickly is, if in a situation like this, if I'm having too much of a trouble to get rid of this one roommate, and my rent is not that cheap, is not an old lease, and I just wanted to vacate the apartment, just because I don't want to deal with it, I would leave, and if it's too much of a trouble, what kind of a responsibility do I have towards the landlord, and what kind of responsibility do I have towards the one roommate?
Unless you've got a written lease with your roommates that discuss that, you could leave, and then they could stay and become the master tenants, or if they don't want to stay, they could leave as well. But they would be required to pay all the rent to your landlord.
I understand what you're saying, but what if my landlord is saying that I don't recognize this person, I don't even know who this person is?
Under the rent ordinance, they have to recognize them because they're there already. They're in possession, they live there, so the landlord's going to have to accept the rent from them. And in fact, the landlord can raise the rent on them to market rate.
Well, there is a just cause that is an unauthorized subtenant holding over.
In theory,
the landlord could evict the subtenant after the master tenant leaves. I think it's in there to cover that situation.
What are you paying, Derek, per month for your tenancy?
$4,500.
Yeah, listen, I think at this point, don't be on the cheap side. I think since you are living, in rent-controlled San Francisco, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a very nice apartment.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, that's a pretty good price to pay. Please understand my suggestion to you also contacting the San Francisco Bar Association Lawyer Referral. I think it's to your benefit to do so. And it's frankly, from an initial investment of $35, it makes an awful lot of sense. I think you need to do it. Help yourself to find out what would be my next step or a series of steps, depending on how I want to deal with this. I really think you need to do that because you have a number of issues here that cannot be resolved on this program, but you need to sit down with a tenant's attorney, and because you are a tenant and you're concerned about how you should deal with your landlord. And I'm sure a tenant's attorney can also tell you how you should be dealing with your subtenant. And so I think you really need to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get one thing. As long as I have they have signed that in their lease with me, I can go ahead and give them a notice to leave. That is not an issue then.
If you have a valid notice to them that the just cause provisions don't apply, then you can serve them with any state law notice at any time for no reason.
I think before you do anything, Derek, if I may suggest this.
Sure.
And take a chance that you are communicating accurately what your situation is. I really think you need to sit down with an attorney face to face, be willing to spend $35 to find out what can do. I mean, this is really important. Don't try to be on the cheap side. Good luck to you.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, take care. Bye bye. Our toll free number for On the Air on this evening, Wednesday, July 26th, is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. If you want to talk with any of the attorneys for Call a Lawyer Night, which again, I want all of you to know about, whether you listen to the program live or not. We generally do call a lawyer on the fourth Wednesday of the month. You're welcome to call in, even if you don't hear the live program, but you know we're doing call a lawyer on the fourth Wednesday of the month, which is usually the situation. It's 1-800-525-9917. I want to thank Jeff Hayden, Chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization and Certified Specialist in Criminal Law, for joining us. I want to thank Janet Lee Frankel, who's a Certified Specialist in Family Law, who will take your calls tomorrow, July 27th, from 9 to 11 a.m., at 415-362-9533. I want to thank Rob Wyman, who's a Certified Specialist in Workers' Compensation Law, for being here. I want to thank Mark Seidenfeld for Estate Planning, Trust, and Probate Law, as well as landlord-tenant questions, if you have any. For Employment Law, I want to thank Ellen Mendelson. For Tax Law, Real Estate, and he's also a real estate broker, I want to thank Frank Adam for being here to take your calls. And tomorrow, Leon Baer, Certified Specialist in Bankruptcy Law, will take your calls between 9 a.m. to noon on Thursday, July 27th at 1-800-477-3111. And we have Matthew. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
You're taking the call.
Yeah.
I'm a long-term resident of an apartment building in Marin County, and we have no rent control, and as I understand it, we have no just cause eviction. One of the other tenants in the building was recently had their month-to-month lease terminated with 6 weeks' notice simply because the landlord wanted to renovate the unit and re-rented at a much higher price. Is there any protection at all against this, or is that totally within the landlord's right?
So this is under state law now, not rent control law, because there's no rent control. What comments do you have, starting with you, Sal, if you would?
Okay, so from what I've heard, I think that the landlord has the right to do that under state law.
So nothing a long-term tenant can do to protect that from happening to themselves?
Well, when you say long-term, you're still month-to-month, right?
Still month-to-month, yeah. After 22 years.
Right.
Wow.
So I understand the reason for the question, but under state law, your tenancy renews itself month-to-month, and it doesn't take into consideration how many months in a row you've been there, which are many months in your case. But it's a brand-new tenancy every 30 days,
mm-hmm.
and there's no... you know, there's nothing, no consideration for the length of time. Jessica?
Yeah. And in most of the state, the non-rent controlled portions of the state, landlords can evict for any or no reason as long as it's not a prohibited reason like retaliation, discrimination, or harassment.
Mm-hmm.
So evicting a long-term tenant to rehab the unit is a valid reason. I mean, it doesn't seem just, and I understand the feeling on that, but it is still within the law.
And in terms of receiving a new contract for a higher rental amount, how soon in advance does that have to be given to the tenant?
Can you repeat that question?
Well, he's saying that the landlord wants to increase the rent.
Yes.
How much time ahead of how much notice does the tenant need to get, Sal, for that?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so under state law, it's 30 days for a tenancy that's 1 year or less, and 60 days for a tenancy that's over 1 year. So in your
case,
you get 60 days notice.
So he's been there for a whole bunch of years. Is he entitled to 60 days notice?
Yes.
It would be a 60-day notice of change of terms of tenancy, and the term would be the rent.
Did you hear that, Matthew?
Yes. In this particular case, I've been told the amount the rent will be raised to, but I've yet to receive a revised contract, which is meant to go into effect September 1st.
So you may not get an entire contract. You may just get a 1 or 2 page document that changes the terms of your existing contract, and the term, as Jessica stated, that's being changed is the amount of rent.
But does that document have to be delivered to me 60 days ahead of the rent increase?
That's correct. Yes.
Just simply stating the amount of the rent increase, but without actually giving any kind of document that I'm meant to sign yet.
Well, it wouldn't be anything that you signed. It would simply be a document that is given to you. But yes, the rent increases, the change of terms of tenancy, have to be in writing.
So if the landlord merely gives him something in writing saying, I am going to increase your monthly rental by such and such amount, the landlord can essentially say that, give it to the tenant 60 days ahead of time. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, it more or less meets the state.
So you
statute.
Said you said, Matthew, that this is supposed to be effective September 1st. Is that right?
Correct. And I was told, you know, about 2 months ago when first notified that there would be a new contract for me to sign, which has not appeared yet. So the question I was trying to get at is, should that have to appear 30 to 60 days before, or is that not really relevant so long as I've been told how much the rent's going
to be? Okay, you've only been orally told by the landlord, is that right?
No, in an email.
Email doesn't count.
It does not count.
Nope.
Not under the law.
Okay, so you're not stuck by the email.
Okay.
I believe that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It has to be either hand-delivered to you or posted on your door.
On paper, or
mailed to you 65 days ahead of time.
Yeah.
Ahead of the effective date. That's what the state law requires.
Right.
Do you feel that you can negotiate with your landlord and say, you haven't given me adequate notice here and have it start, let's say, truly at a 60-day period, or is the landlord just adamant?
Well, we haven't got to that point, but I suspect if I did do that, I might be the next tenant off to move out
Even though they can evict for no reason, they can't evict under state law for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
You can't be evicted with a notice, an eviction notice, because you stood up for your rights. So if you're entitled
to... That's retaliation.
Yeah.
Sure, but if that's not the reason given for the eviction, then it's easy to cover that up, surely.
Well, you would give that reason. You would provide that reason, even though the notice isn't going to say I'm retaliating against you. When you defend against it, you would defend with a retaliation defense. And I'm not suggesting that you aren't tactful with the landlord, with your dealings, but...
Sure.
You're entitled. If they say, where's the rent? You're going to have to tell them you didn't get proper notice or work something out like Chuck suggested. But you really need to get written notice properly to make the rent
increase.
Right.
And the thing is, when the alleged new rent is supposedly due September 1st, you pay your regular rent that you've been paying.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you get a 3-day notice to pay rent or quit, then the defense to that is what we've been discussing, that there was no written notice of rent increase, so the rent increase is improper.
Yeah.
And that if she's trying to go, if she goes through with an eviction lawsuit against you based on that, then that's retaliation for asserting your rights.
Well, we're going to move on, Matthew. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Again, since you are in Marin County, you can take advantage of the Lawyer Referral Service of San Francisco, which also covers Marin County, if you want. So take care. Thank you for calling. Tom, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, how's it going?
All right, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Okay, so my question pertains to appliances.
Ooh, there's something wrong with your... I don't know what's going on.
I have to turn down the radio.
Turn down your radio.
No, I'm sorry. I have my radio on.
Turn it down. Turn it down, Tom. I know you want to hear us while we're talking, but go ahead. You're on the air.
All right. So my question is pertaining to appliances. If in the lease it says that the tenant is responsible for maintaining appliances such as washer, dryer, in my particular case, the garage door, which is from the early 1990s, I believe, became faulty, or the remote became faulty, rather, and the landlord used the clause in the lease agreement stating that we're responsible for maintaining appliances to say that, sorry, that the garage door gave out, it's up to you to fix it. And... mind you, electronical components are known to, for no reason whatsoever, give out. So is this clause in the lease actually legal in the first place? And if it is, in this particular case, with an older appliance upon moving in, if it gives out, is it up to the renter or tenant to pay for that fix?
He's in San Francisco, by the way.
Yeah, so I think you've got a good old-fashioned argument on your hands because, you know, you maintained it. I'm sure you changed the batteries when they needed to be changed, but now it broke. It might be at the end of its useful life, which
exactly.
No matter how well you maintain things, there becomes a point where it can't go on further.
It was an old remote in the first place and an old garage door opener. So, yeah, I mean, there's really only so much regular use you can do. You click the button, the door opens. That's really all you use it for. And one day when the remote stops working, is it my fault? So,
I think you're going to have a fight on your hands because if the landlord believes that you're responsible for replacing the garage door, well, that means when you moved in, you basically moved in with a clause that said when the garage door breaks, you're going to put a new one in. And I don't think that that's what you had in mind, and I don't think that's truly what he had in mind either. So I in my opinion, I don't think it's an enforceable provision to make you pay for the garage door. I think he's got to fix it, and then you have to maintain it, which means you've got to keep it going for its useful life.
You know, and if it requires oiling or whatever, maybe that's your responsibility. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just like with a stove, you have to clean it or it's going to catch on fire.
Tom, yeah. You got yourself a problem, and hopefully you can do something with it. How much is it going to cost to repair this or replace it, do you know?
So I've gotten somewhere with the landlord in the argument. He has agreed to pay no more than $50 towards the repair, which
of the garage door or the remote?
You didn't get too far.
That's a little bit too much. I'm sorry to tell you, Tom, I think you also should contact the Lawyer Referral Service for San Francisco because I believe you're a tenant in San Francisco. We have actually run out of time. I want to thank both of you very much for joining us on the program. It's been a pleasure having you both back on the air, Jessica Chilek with Law Office in San Francisco and Sal Timpano with Law Office in San Francisco. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Chuck. It's
great,
always a pleasure
to have you here. Just great to have you here. Next time on Your Legal Rights, we'll discuss alternatives to marriage for the modern, believe it or not, non-nuclear family of creative and unique relationship options. I think you'll find it very interesting. My guests will be Deborah Wald, Jason Elter, and B.J. Fatum, who are specialists in family law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McClain. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, which has 11 specialties that it certifies at www.calbar.ca.gov, and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program for national distribution. It certifies specialties in four areas of the law, and that is www.nbtalawyers.org. And please, if you would, keep in mind that we do the Call a Lawyer Night every month, usually on the fourth Wednesday of the month. Next month, I think, however, in August, it will be on the last Wednesday of the month, which I believe is going to be the 30th. So keep that in mind. And that number for Call a Lawyer is 1-800-525-9917. Thanks for joining us on Your Legal Rights Public Radio, and I hope you join us next time on your public radio station. I'm Chuck Finney.